This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.
Welcome to Living with Purpose. My name is Beverly Shove and I will be your host today. I am delighted to have my friend Angela Sales here with me today. Welcome, Angela. Thank you also, audience, for joining us today. Angela, you weren't born here in New Zealand, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Where were you born?
I was born in the Philippines in 1977.
And what was your family like?
My mom and dad were both devoted Catholic, I should say, and were sort of very religious.
And what was starting school like for you, Angela?
I was put in a Catholic school in primary and high school years.
And did you enjoy it?
Well, yeah, I did enjoy my school years. We were taught Christian values, to have good behavior, character, and to be modest.
And what was your home life like?
We stayed at my grandparents' house when I was 7 to 12 years old. And it was very difficult because my mom and dad always fought due to finances. My mom was working full-time and my dad was also, but he was addicted to gambling. As for my grandparents, they were, well, sort of well-off, and they had a big house and let our family stay with them. As far as I can remember, I could not describe it as a home. We felt unwanted. They want us as they see us as a burden. That's why my mom wanted us to have our own house that we could call a home.
And, you know, that's so sad. Under those circumstances, for 5 years, that must have been like, it must have seemed like forever. You're not supposed to feel unwanted and like you're a burden with family, are you?
My parents' marriage didn't last, and I was 12 years old when they separated, had their own lives. My two siblings and I were raised by my mom.
I'm sure that was hard, especially at the age you were. You know, teen years, they're already so difficult with peer pressure and all the changes that are taking place in your body and life. So did you get to continue seeing your dad?
Yes, I do. And we got to see him from time to time. We were the ones reaching out to him. Mom told us to respect, loved our dad no matter what happened between them. Unfortunately, my brother, who is the youngest, didn't have a good relationship with him. I did, and I do love my dad. Don't get me wrong. I know he loved me and us, but pride got in the way.
I'm sure he loved you. He was probably struggling, you know, with depression and feeling awkward and embarrassed. He had struggles going on within himself. So, Angela, did you attend university? And if so, what did you study?
Yes, I went to the University of the Philippines, and I got a bachelor's degree in biology, major in microbiology.
That's great. That's impressive. What was university like for you?
It was full of memories, carefree, though it was tough. If you're not careful and focused, temptation is very real. I had to be with the right group, students, and people.
You're right. Hanging out with the right crowd is so important. So where did you find this right group?
A fellow university student approached me from CCC. It's a Campus Crusade for Christ. It was in university that I first encountered Christ as my Lord and Savior. I didn't understand the meaning of my salvation through Christ. I knew that Christ died on the cross for my sins of the world, which included my sins, of course, but that was it. Coming to know the purpose of Christ's death on the cross had a great impact on my life. I started to ask questions. My roommate at that time was from a Baptist church and gifted me my very first Bible, but I didn't went to the same church with her, but I do still go to the Catholic church. Then I met Mike, who was on fire in his faith, who condemned my denomination. This is what quite contrasts from what the first person who approached me. Then I said to him, if you say you're a Christian and have that attitude, I don't want to be like you. Then he reflected on what he had just said and apologized. Then he invited me to attend his church at the Four Gospel Church in Quezon City in the Philippines. It was then that the Lord opened my eyes and my heart.
And what happened next?
I started attending the group. I started reading my Bible. But due to my schedule, I wasn't able to grow in my faith. I became dormant, just cruising.
So why don't you tell our audience right now who this Mike was?
He was the man I now married to.
So I'm assuming at that moment, marriage to Mike was not someone you had in mind. Am I correct?
Yeah, that's right. Mike is a very gentle soul and a great guy. We got married at a very young age.
What age was that?
We were both 23 years old when we got married.
And what happened next?
We had two children, Max and Francine. Our little family went through seasons in life that we never dream of. We struggled financially when our business went bankrupt.
And what business was that?
We have a retail agricultural store.
Bankruptcy, man, that must have been so overwhelming. I can't even imagine. What was going through your mind?
I was thinking, I can't ask for my family support. I don't want to be a burden to my mom who's supporting my younger siblings in university.
So did you settle in the same town you were from?
No, we were in Manila first, and then we moved to Cagayan where Francine was born. We had a very small house annexed by our store business.
And how was Mike handling this?
My husband, Mike, at that time was very stubborn due to his past. We both knew that we needed to go back to work to survive, and we did.
So what happened next?
I was traveling 10 hours one way to go to our rural place, our province, to see my children, and then go back to work again the next day. So I could see them like once in a while, like in 11 hours every week. Max was just 5 and Francine was just 1 year and a half years old.
That must have been so hard. So who were your children staying with?
We left our house and went to my mom's place at that time, and we stayed there for a while. During this time, we had already applied to migrate to New Zealand. We came to New Zealand in 2007 as dairy farmers, fit, physically active. I was a wife and a full-time mom, living a simple rural life. I gave up my own personal career to support Mike and raise our children. Fortunately, farming life suited and continues to suit our family very well.
Now you're both Christians. How did this move affect that?
Our Christian journey had grown with the help of our Christian friends that invited us in a simple Bible study group since day one. When we arrived in New Zealand and attended church in Rotorua, I realized that God was looking after us. He gave us the light to see our path by meeting people and orchestrating events.
And isn't that the case? You know, when we are honoring God, He directs our path, leading us in the right direction and onto the path He wants us to head down. I mean, Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6 say, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." And you know what? It's true. He is faithful to do that, isn't He? Now, what happened next, Angela?
Then we moved to Hawke's Bay in 2014. Our family revolves around the farm business and our church ministry. Mike and I were searching for a church. Then we attended one Sunday at BBC, which is the Bay Baptist Church. We knew we had found the church family we belonged to.
And what was it about the church that made you know you had found the one you wanted to attend?
Well, we searched the website for a Bible-based teaching church, and then we knew that we belonged to us a family. This is one met that criteria. Sorry.
Now, Angela, I know that a few years back you had a really scary diagnosis. Could you please just share with us what this was?
Well, in June 2018, our family went through a trial. I was diagnosed with thyroid cancer, with a big lump on my right side of my neck below my jaw. I was told by a doctor that it might just be slight infection and waited for another 4 weeks to consider it to be unusual. Though everything felt normal, I had a gut feeling that there's something wrong. I had encountered consistent night sweats for a week. I woke up around 2:30 in the morning. It was just hard, like, you know, sweating, a hard workout. I was wet from head to toe and needed to get up from bed and change my clothes. Finally, I had my appointment with my GP, who palpated my neck and ordered an ultrasound scan urgently. By that time, I had an ultrasound done. I prayed to God, "Lord, if this is cancer," I said, like, let it be thyroid, not lymphoma, because I was searching the internet as well.
I can't even imagine how hard and scary that was for you.
Yeah, going through the process, having those tests were killing me more mentally than physically. But God is so good. He gave us peace throughout the process, not only for me, but for my husband Mike and my children as well.
How did he give you peace?
He reminded me of the following verses, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7, which says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your mind in Christ Jesus." And also 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, which says, "For God gave us spirit, not fear, but the power of love and self-control."
Isn't that how our awesome God is? I mean, He knows just what we need and blesses us with it at just the right time. Now, how did Francine and Max handle this devastating news?
Mike and I had spoken to our children about what could happen to me, including possibility of dying. We just told them to pray, not to worry, and put their trust in the Lord.
What were the doctors forecasting as far as the prognosis, high or low?
Well, it is after confirming that I had papillary carcinoma, Tulsar variant, and metastasis on my neck. It's an aggressive form of thyroid cancer. My doctor told me that it had a very high prognosis of the right plan of treatment.
Oh, my goodness. I'm sure that was somewhat encouraging.
I pray to God, please choose the right doctors, nurses, and specialists to give them wisdom and all understanding of that disease and that I had just found out about.
Angela, how was this affecting you psychologically?
Honestly, I had some bad days thinking about so many things. The reality of dying, not being able to see my children grow up and their own family. But one thing I have learned is to be open and talk about it. Express yourself to others and ask for support. This is where my church family prayed endlessly for us.
Yes, how well I remember that. I believe it really brought us all closer together. How soon after this did you have your surgery?
August 15, 2018, I had my neck dissection surgery. 52 lymph nodes were taken out. 22 were cancerous.
Wow, what happened next?
This was followed by radioactive iodine with low iodine diet for 4 weeks, withholding my medication.
And how did this affect you?
Withholding my medication made a lot worse. I felt really tired, hungry, frustrated, name it, because I couldn't eat anything with salt in it. No dairy, no bread, no seafood because of iodine. I needed to eat just a portion of meat each day with steamed carrots, green vegetables. And there was a lot more on the list of low iodine diet given to me by my doctor.
And when you feel tired and hungry and discouraged, everything seems huge.
Yes. And then I had higher second dose of radioactive iodine on September 2019. I was told by my oncologist, that the cancer was not responding to treatments given to me and I needed another neck dissection surgery. As a result of my latest CT scan, 2 suspicious lumps present on my left side of my neck, still there.
Could you please put into words for us what thoughts were going through your head?
Oh, I just like pray. Please, God, let me get through this with you. I just carried on and did what they told me to do. If surgery, then go with the surgery. If radiation, then go with the radiation.
Did you find that during this time, prayer became more real and intense for you?
Oh, yes. It was more like pleading with God to extend my life with my whole heart and soul. I was encouraged by the book of Psalms when King David was in great despair and in trouble.
And how long did you have to wait for another update?
In December 2019, another neck dissection was done. 15 lymph nodes were taken out and 7 were still cancerous.
Wow. I have no idea what the ramifications of that were. What was going through your mind?
Fear crept me in from morbidity of the surgery. But every time I walk into the theater, I lay down on the operating table. I just put on my weapon, the sword of God.
And for those who are listening, Angela, what is the sword of God?
The sword of God is the word of God, the Bible. And I had his spirit with me. I was praying unceasingly and focusing on the truth that the Lord is with me all the way and holding my hand.
And how long were you in the hospital after the surgery?
It was 7 days maximum.
How did you remain strong during this time?
I faced every battle with daily reading of scriptures. I got my Bible with me and focusing on Jesus. This made me stronger day by day and kept me going, having the will to survive because I could trust him.
You spoke of this as battles that you were facing. I would say you truly experienced God fighting for you. And it makes me think of Isaiah 41:10, which says, "So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." And also Joshua 1, verse 9 says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Isn't it awesome that we can completely trust God? Now, Angela, how do you now look at your life?
I have said to myself that life is not mine but his, to take any time. And this I shared with my family and friends who prayed for me with me faithfully.
What is prayer to you now? I mean, how do you view it in your life and how important is it to you?
Prayer is the most powerful weapon I use to fight my emotions, my dark thoughts and fears. My prayer is, "Search my heart, O God, you know my thoughts. Please give me the strength and take away my sadness that could lead to depression. Keep me still and help me to know that you are my God in the bad things that will happen to me in the future. Just bless me and hold me tightly. Bless me with future generation for Mike and I to see with our children. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen."
You talked about the Bible and how it ministered to you. Tell us about that.
Reading the book of Psalms when King David was facing his deepest, darkest moments gave me encouragement. The story of Job, who was righteous in the eyes of God, endured the suffering and accepted God's purpose in his life. Nourishing my life with the Word has given me peace and comfort throughout this journey.
That's so awesome, Angela. And I would encourage you, our audience, if you have never read the book of Psalms, to read it. A large portion of this book of the Bible was written by King David, and he started out as a shepherd boy, and in the end, he was one of Israel's greatest kings. He was even called a man after God's own heart. However, he was by no means a perfect man. He unfortunately committed adultery and murder, but in the end, he repented with all his heart and asked God for his forgiveness, and he asked him to blot out his sin, and you know what? God did. His life encourages us, too, that no matter what we have done, we are never beyond God's forgiveness. And if we turn to him for both our salvation and forgiveness, he definitely will grant it. And then she spoke about the book of Job. It begins with a conversation between God and Satan. Satan had actually asked God if he could test Job. Job was a righteous man, and Satan said that Job was righteous only because God had blessed Job and put a hedge around him. God allowed Satan to test Job. Now, Satan is the epitome of evil, so you can know he was brutal in his testing Job. I won't go into detail, but I will encourage you, our listeners, to read the book of Job if you haven't. But long story short, Job suffered beyond comprehension and still remained faithful to God. And in the end, God restored his fortune and gave him twice as much as he had had before. Job became aware that his understanding about God's ways was limited. And I want to say to you, our listeners, that our understanding of God is also limited. Job's story shows us that suffering isn't always a consequence of sin, and it highlights the importance of trusting God even when life circumstances are difficult to understand. As Isaiah 55:8 says, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." We can always trust God. Now, Angela, how are you feeling as you look to your future?
I am assured of my salvation through Christ, and nothing else matters. But this, still, I pleaded with God, the Lord, that if it is will to extend my life, I pray that He will enable and use me in His ministry.
Have you finished all of your surgeries?
Yes. And there's one more. February 4, 2020, I had my last one, the most unexpected surgery of all, removal of two impacted wisdom teeth, four good molars close to it. I felt mortified. It was the most painful, scariest of them all, but it needed to be done prior to my radiotherapy treatment to avoid osteonecrosis and complication that may affect my bones in the future.
And how did your radiotherapy go?
At March 4, 2020, my radiotherapy started 5 days a week for 6 straight weeks. The first 2 weeks seems okay, and it started to get worse when expected to happen. I could not swallow anything without the use of anesthetics to numb my throat because it was too painful. Anything that passed through my throat was a struggle. It was like burning inside and out. I endured the pain for almost 8 weeks by God's grace and mercy. I can say God is so good. I was lifted up through prayers, my friends and BBC family and churches around the world, where my friends and family were able to send their prayer requests for my treatment and recovery. Isn't that amazing?
It sure is, and God is good. You know, we have a saying at our church. We say, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. Did they get all the cancer?
I recovered very well and had my last scan results were good. Finally, my oncologist said that I have done everything that they could do, and it's time for me to be handed over to endocrine for monitoring.
How does the future look?
The future, Matthew 6:25. For this reason I say to you, do not be worried about your life as to what you will eat or what you will drink, nor for your body as for what you will put on. It is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing. My journey continues, as there will still be tests, scans, monitoring for the rest of my life. Reflecting on what I have been through, God put everything in order, from the doctors to the plans and procedures. I tell you, Dr. Google doesn't help. Searching for answers on my own doesn't help at all. But in Proverbs 3, verse 5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will direct your path." In other words, put everything into prayer and God's peace will transcend all understanding, will guard your heart and your mind, Christ Jesus.
How has this journey impacted you?
This journey brought me closer to Him. And now I cling to Him by digging through the Word that strengthened my spirit. Each year as I become older, my health is a roller coaster, and the struggles in life seems to be never-ending.
So how are you dealing with these never-ending struggles?
It comes back to the Word. Just recently, I was meditating on what the Apostle Paul said in Acts 20, verse 24. "However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." Our life here on earth is just temporary. I often ask myself, what is my sole purpose in life? Does my plan align with God's plan?
And on that note, Angela, what would you say is your purpose for living?
My purpose for living is to glorify God's name in everything that I do, whether I'm at home, at work, anywhere else. I want to glorify Him. and to spread the word. And the gift of salvation, meaning of intimate relationship of our Lord Jesus, especially to my family in the Philippines.
Well, Angela, we have come to the end of our time. Could you please just close our time today with prayer?
Definitely, Beverly. Lord, you have created all things. You have made all things in your likeness. Everything exists because of you. Thank you for creating me and breathing your life into me. I put my life in your hands. I trust you to navigate my life to your will and purpose. Help me represent you in a way worthy of your majesty and glory. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.
Amen. Angela, thank you for sharing your story today. And audience, I want to thank you for joining us. If you have never made that most important decision of all, to confess that you are a sinner in need of God's forgiveness, but you would like to do it now, you can repeat after me. God, I know that I am a sinner. I know that you cannot let sin into heaven. I ask you, God, to forgive my sin and be my Savior. I turn from my sin to follow you. Amen. If you prayed this prayer with me just now and minute, you are now my brother or sister in Christ. When you die, you will go to heaven and be with Jesus forever. If you did make this decision, please contact me and let me know. And if you have any questions, I would love to hear from you. Better yet, come see me at Bay Baptist Church in Green Meadows. Well, unfortunately, our time is up for today. But I want to thank you, Angela, so much for joining us today. And I want to thank you, audience, for joining us. And I want to ask you to please join me again next week at the same time. And in the meantime, make sure you are living with purpose.
This program was produced by and first broadcast on Radio Hawke's Bay, your community access media station. Thanks to New Zealand On Air for making this type of programming possible.